Good morning, everyone. A Christian farmer taught his horse to start and stop using words from the Bible. When he wanted the horse to go, he would shout, "Praise the Lord." When he wanted the horse to stop, he would shout, "Hallelujah." All went well until one day a thunderbolt caused the horse to gallop off at full speed. Realizing he had lost control, the farmer panicked and forgot the words he had trained the horse to respond to. Up ahead was a cliff, and they were headed towards it at full speed. Desperately, he tried to record every religious word he'd ever heard of. He shouted, "Amen, Jesus saves, worthy, holy." Nothing worked. Just as the horse approached the precipice, he shouted, "Hallelujah." The horse stopped right there on the edge. Relieved, he wiped his sweat off his brow and said, "Phew, praise the Lord." We've been asked to preach on our favourite verse. It's not so easy as it may sound, because different verses speak to you at different times and seasons in your spiritual journey. But one that's meant a lot to me is Acts 19 verse 2. Paul asked them, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?" They answered, "No, we have not even heard there is a Holy Spirit." And this was my experience. Not so much that I did not know of the Holy Spirit, more that I did not appreciate the reality of the presence of the Holy Spirit in my life. Let's read a bit more from Acts 19. While Paulus was at Corinth, Paul took the road through the interior and arrived at Ephesus. There he found some disciples and asked them, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?" They answered, "No, we did not even heard that there is a Holy Spirit." So Paul asked them, "What baptism did you receive?" "John's baptism," they replied. Paul said, "John's baptism was a baptism of repentance. He told the people to believe in the one coming after him, that is Jesus." On hearing this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. When Paul placed his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them, and they spoke in tongues and prophesied. There were about 12 men in all. Now, it's generally accepted the Holy Spirit brings a person to the place of accepting Jesus as Lord. But it's not always the case that when they are baptized, they are filled with the Holy Spirit. This is how the Message Bible puts it. Now, it happened that while Apollos was away in Corinth, Paul made his way down through the mountains, came to Ephesus, happened on some disciples there. First thing he said was, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? Did you take God into your mind only, or did you also embrace him with your heart? Did he get inside you?" We have never heard of that, a Holy Spirit, God within us. "How were you baptized then?" Paul asked. "In John's baptism." "That explains it," said Paul. "John preached a baptism of radical life change, so that people would be ready to receive the one coming after him, who turned out to be Jesus. If you haven't been baptized in John's baptism, you're ready now for the real thing, for Jesus." And they were. As soon as they heard of it, they were baptized in the name of the Master Jesus. Paul put his hands on their heads and the Holy Spirit entered them. From that moment on, they were praising God in tongues and talking about God's actions. Together, there were about 12 people there that day. Many people who receive the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ immediately experience the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit, and it's manifest through the gifts of the Spirit. But this was not my experience. You see, I made a commitment to Jesus as my Lord when I was 11. I attended the Methodist Church in Rosyth. I was in the Sunday school, and one day the Sunday school teacher, a man called Jack Fowle, gave out cards to everyone in his class, and they said on it, "Do you want to commit your life to the Lord Jesus Christ?" Well, I had to think about that. I had a week to think about it, and I did think about it. I thought hard about it. I wondered if this was what was right for me. And so eventually I did decide, and I signed the card saying that Jesus was my Lord and Savior. And so I grew up in the Methodist Church. I became active in the youth group, attended worship regularly. I became a member, was baptized. It enabled me to be participate in communion. I became a Sunday school teacher myself and became part of the traditional cycle of Christians brought up in the Methodist Church. I knew about the Holy Spirit because I read about him, but it did not mean anything other than that. And it was only after we moved to live in Bonnyrigg and started attending the Methodist Church in Central Hall at Toll Cross that I became aware of a group of mainly young people who were doing some strange things which seemed out with the traditions of the Methodist Church. This group was called Crossfire, led by a young man, Dan Patterson. They met on Saturday evening and went out into the streets around Toll Cross to talk to young people about Jesus. They invited them back to the hall for coffee and to talk and share their experience of Jesus in their lives and in the power of the Holy Spirit. I became curious to know what this Holy Spirit was all about. It was a time when in the mid-70s there were a lot of activities around the move of the Holy Spirit. Books about the Holy Spirit and what he had done and was doing in people's lives, and various speakers expressing the dynamism of the Holy Spirit in their lives. Miracles, healings, transformations, salvations, all were happening and around the ministry of the Holy Spirit. I began to want to know this experience for myself, but I was afraid of what the presence of the Holy Spirit in my life might mean. Would he demand I go to Africa or some other place to do his work? Would he separate me from my family? It took me 6 months to reach a place where I could go on no more without knowing that experience of the Holy Spirit in my life. And so one lunchtime in a Christian home, two people laid hands on me and prayed for the Holy Spirit to come upon me, and he did. And today I'm here in this church, standing here preaching to you because of that experience. I was 30 years of age. And so I was baptized in the Holy Spirit. It changed my life completely. It started with my being on a high of emotion in which I praised God and saw the world through a different light. After a few weeks, I sought and found that I could speak in tongues. I began to wonder what I could do for God. And I asked him, and I got this reply: "You do not know enough about me and my word." Well, I became aware that I wanted to tell people about Jesus, and the avenue for me to do that was to become a local preacher within Methodism. That meant 2 years study and training. And I found myself being taught by the minister of Central Hall, Donald Parsons. He knew what he was talking about, and it was a good influence on my training. I qualified, I was accepted by the ministers and local preachers, and which put me in good stead for preaching around the various Methodist churches in what they know as a circuit. And yet that wasn't enough. I had a zeal and desire to see others filled with the Holy Spirit, and so I got involved with a Methodist evangelist, Rob Frost. We had moved back to Rosyth in 1978. And he came to Rosyth with a touring show called The Gospel Roadshow, full of Holy Spirit happenings, good worship with a band, teaching and outpourings of the Holy Spirit. And by now Paul had joined me in receiving the Holy Spirit, and we began to take on adventures with Rob Frost. We coordinated a show along with another couple called Visions, held in Carnegie Hall in 1986. This involved groups of mainly young people from all over Scotland rehearsing a section of the show which comprised sections of the Bible in which the Holy Spirit had been seen to move. And assembling in Dunfermline on the day before the show, meeting with Rob Frost and the writer and the singer called Paul Field. It was a mammoth task. And then they put the show on the Saturday afternoon and the Saturday evening. It was a show that cost £1,200, and it was miraculously covered to within pennies. And we saw people saved at the end of the show as Rob made a call to commitment. We started to go on mission, organised by Rob Frost, with teams of 12 or more people from all parts of the UK meeting together and working with a local church in gospel outreach activities. working on the streets, doing shows with a message, leading worship. We would do this over a period of 10 to 14 days. And it was all done in the name of Jesus and under the power and influence of the Holy Spirit. Reaching out to people with the gospel. The fruit of those experiences is not always obvious because you're not there for long. And yet some relationships remain for years after. I believe that under the influence of the power of the Holy Spirit, I was led to go and deliver the good news of Jesus Christ. Wherever I was called to go, there were people waiting to hear the gospel. I remember in Stoke-on-Trent, I was leading a service and preaching about the gospel of Jesus Christ, and this woman called Gwyneth stood up and shouted out. She said, "I've been coming to this church for 2 years, and this is the first time I've heard somebody talking about the gospel of Jesus Christ." It turns out that Gwyneth, who lived just a couple of hundred yards up the road, some 2 years earlier, her husband, a Hungarian, had found he contracted cancer and decided he couldn't cope with it and committed suicide. Gwyneth was devastated, and all she could think of doing was go down to this church. And they comforted her and gave compassion to her and helped her through these 2 years. And yet here she was 2 years later and hadn't heard of the purpose of the church that was there to talk about Jesus Christ. She came to the Lord, as did many others from that church. We were in a team that went from this church in 1998 to Münster in Germany. There was a team of about 14 of us. And we worked on the streets, plus 30 degrees plus on the streets every day, except for 2 days when we had time off. We also took services in the church. But on the streets we found it quite hard. We did our songs and our sketches, and we preached using translators Kiki and Dorothy, who were locals and knew us from our contacts before. And yet it was hard, and we found it difficult to reach people. It was real stony ground. And yet on the last service we had in the church, a woman said to us, "Come and pray for me to receive Jesus as my Lord." And we talked to her. She had problems, as does most people, but she worked her way through them and came to a place of commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ. We were in Livingston Outlet Centre just a few months ago, in the Marks and Spencers bit, and this woman was looking at us, and we recognised her face but couldn't remember her name. And she came up, she says, "Are you Paula and Roland?" And we said, "Yes." She says, "I'd just like to say thank you for the times when you encouraged me and set me on the way of the Lord Jesus." She said, "You don't know how much it helped me in that time of my life." Well, I've done many other things and got involved with many other adventures in reaching out to promote the gospel of Christ. And I'm still believing in the scripture, "Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty." I'm still believing there's a place for the Holy Spirit to be manifest in our lives. And I'm still believing the Holy Spirit's desire to see all men saved. And I'm still believing that it is in the power of the Holy Spirit that this will be achieved. The Holy Spirit is not just gentle like a dove. When the Holy Spirit first fell on the disciples, it was in the form of tongues of fire. It indicated power. We used to speak about the Greek translation of power as dunamis, from which we loosely get the term dynamite. The power of the Holy Spirit is also explosive in nature. The Ephesian church went on to become a leading light of the gospel, sharing in that religion. We read about the power of the Holy Spirit at work in Ephesus, as Paul writes in his letters. And look at Ephesians 1, verses 18 to 21. "I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, his incomparably great power for all us who believe." That power is the same mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every name that is involved, not only in the present age, but in the age to come. And you can also read sections of Ephesians 3:16 and Ephesians 3:20, where they mention the power of the Holy Spirit at work in the lives of the Ephesian church. So I'm here telling you about one of my favorite verses, and to ask you if you really know the real power of the Holy Spirit in your life. A few weeks ago, John finished the preaching on Luke's Gospel, and I noted that he quoted from Luke 19 verse 10, "For the Son of Man came to seek and save what was lost." And I noted in Acts 19 verse 10, a few verses down from what we've already been reading, we see Paul and the disciples having been preaching and teaching about the kingdom of God. And it says, "This went on for the next 2 years, so that people throughout the province of Asia, both Jews and Greeks, heard the message." John concluded that Luke's gospel was about revealing Jesus. And we see the disciples and the early Christians going out and preaching and teaching, revealing Jesus. And Paul himself wrote in Galatians 1:16, "Then he revealed his Son to me, so that I could proclaim the good news about Jesus to the Gentiles." The last verse John read from Luke 24, verse 39 read, "And now I will send the Holy Spirit, just as my Father promised. But stay here in the city until the Holy Spirit comes and fills you with power from on high." You see, the disciples and every Christian since that time that has been born again have all needed to understand and know the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit. And the need is as great as today as it was in Paul's day to reveal Jesus. The last verse of Mark's Gospel, Mark 16 verse 20, "Then the disciples went out and preached everywhere, and the Lord worked with them and confirmed his word by the signs that accompanied it." They preached everywhere, and the signs and wonders followed. We've many outreach ministries here which demonstrate this. But there's still the need to go and proclaim the gospel, and it's only as a measure of the reality of the Holy Spirit working in our lives that we will be bold enough to do it. I know many of you are in the place and have had similar experiences to mine. I know this church has sent teams to various places, including Russia, Germany, Romania, and I know some of you have been on mission fields in other places. The outreach to Perth, outreach to Banati, and who can know the fruit from these outreaches, and more recently, Light and Life. We remember some of the people who have been impacted by the presentation of the gospel at this church. Leanne, who came across us working on the streets of Dunfermline and met Jesus. Andrew, who came into church while his children were attending our holiday club and met Jesus. Sharon, who came into church one day just seeking and found Jesus. My point is that to me, one of the consequences of knowing the power of the Holy Spirit in your life is the conviction and desire to reveal Jesus by proclaiming the gospel. In this 40th anniversary year, I believe the Holy Spirit wants to raise up a new generation who will move in the power of the Holy Spirit and carry the gospel message forward, a message of hope, love, peace, wholeness, and above all, salvation. So I hope you can see why this is one of my favorite verses. And I ask you today, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? Have you received a spirit of power? Well, today's an opportunity to do that. I invite Tim to come back with the band and lead us in Light the Fire again. But while we're singing that, if you want to come down and have hands laid upon to receive the power of the Holy Spirit, I welcome you to do that.